All right. So we're in Colossians, once I finally get there, chapter 1, and we're going to be starting in verse 9. We're going to look at four necessities for every Christian. Four necessities for every Christian. Here in the book of Colossians, Paul is writing to the church there at Colossae, and he is writing to a group of people that he has probably never preached to. He's never met. The church there at Colossae, he was only introduced to them by a fellow prisoner. And the fellow prisoner there was a prisoner for Christ. He had been preaching and pastoring there at Colossae. And while Paul was in prison, he met him there. We see that in... trying to find where it is now. Verse 7 there, it says, "And ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." We also see it in the last chapter of Colossians, in verse 4, where he tells his readers there that Epaphras sends him their love, and how he labored fervently for them in verse 12. And so here, upon Paul, if I happen to say Peter today, I'm sorry, I'm at New Hope there in Stephenville. I've been preaching through 1 Peter, and now I'm preaching through 2 Peter, and I've always had trouble saying Peter and Paul. So, but anyway, we're talking about Peter today. He's the one that wrote Colossians. Did I say Peter? Oh, my goodness. See, it's easy. Paul. I just said be careful. I was going to do it, and I did it. So we've got that over with. We're going to be talking about Paul. Paul wrote Colossians here, and he's wanting to encourage the church there. But here in verse 9, he says... we'll start in verse 8. He says, "Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, to all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Paul wanted to, as he's introducing himself to the church at Colossae, he says, "Once I heard about your faith, once I heard about your love for the brethren, once I heard that you desired to grow, you desired to serve the Lord, and your love in the Spirit," he said, "I was burdened for you. I had a desire for you. We pray for you daily. We pray that you might grow." And he says, these four things we pray for about you. These four things we would love to see in every Christian, to see in you, and for you to know, and for you to grow in this area. And this morning, I want to look at those four things that Paul prayed for the church at Colossae. And four things that is important for every Christian to have, every Christian to have in their Christian walk with God. And so we'll begin with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the day that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for your many blessings to us. Lord, I thank you that we can read your word, that we can know your will. Lord, that we can be strengthened by your power. Lord, that we may be able to be the Christians that we ought to be. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to trust you more each day. Lord, to seek your will at all times. Lord, I pray that you'll help us now as we turn to your word. Lord, may we institute these four things in our lives as we seek to grow, as we seek to be the Christians that we need to be the church that we ought to be. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do. Work in our hearts and minds even now. In your name I pray. Amen. So here in verse 9, as I mentioned, Paul says, here are the things that I'm praying for you. I don't cease to pray for you. We pray for you day and night. We pray for you all the time. And our prayer, our desire for you is that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Paul says, it's important for you to know God's will for your life. We have a senior in high school this year. And one of the questions I think she gets tired of hearing is, what are you going to do? What do you want to go to college for or university for? What do you want to be when you grow up? And I know her desire is to do the will of God. And a lot of times we get as adults, we think of God's will is something that we think about as teenagers or in high school or in university, as we seek what is God's will. But God's will for our lives is an everyday thing. It's not just something in the future for young people. We have to know God's will for our lives for every day. Here, Paul wasn't just speaking to a youth group. Paul was speaking to the entire church. He says, my desire, what I pray for you, is that you know God's will. We have so many things that come up in our lives. I know most of you probably have no problems whatsoever, right? No difficulties, no health issues in the family. Everybody is loaded with money and, you know, just you have a tree in your backyard, you just pull a couple hundreds off and you go about your day, right? No, we have things that come up. We have problems that come up. And God has a specific plan for us on how to deal with those problems. When life changes come up, life-changing problems come up, God has a will for us on how to respond and which way we ought to go. And God wants us to know his will. God is not hiding what's best for us. He doesn't say, all right, I'm going to pick on Dana. I like to pick on Dana. Dana, I have a plan for you, but you're going to have to do A, B, C, and D to eventually be worthy of getting to know what my will is. Is that God? He wants us to know his will, and he's made his will plain. And where do we find his will? In the Word of God. Now, Dana and Trina are making a trip to Toronto to help Braden once during his operation and after he has his operation. And they needed a place to stay. They needed a lot of plans to be made. Do we find in God's word, Dana, thou shalt rent an apartment on, I can't remember the name of the streets in Toronto, but on Main Street at such and such a time at such and such a price? No. But we find principles in God's word. Should you go help your son? Yes. And we can see his working through that, can't we? We can see him making a path as we see who God is and the fact that he cares for us, he loves us, and he provides for us. We can know the will of God. Here in verse 9, he says, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We can know God's will by two ways, by wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here the word wisdom simply means learning. It's the conventional sense of study. The conventional sense of learning by study. We can learn God's will, and we do that by studying his word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We read in 2 Peter chapter 1 that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we understand that through the knowledge of God. How do we know what we need for life? How do we know that we have and what is available for life? Through the knowledge of God, through his word. In the last part of 2 Peter chapter 1, he tells us that that the scripture was given by God, and that it is, we have a more sure word for life, which is God's word. But we have to study it to know it. A lot of times we'll take God's word and we'll read our chapter for the day, and then we go on. Is it good to read the Bible? Yes, it's very good to read the Bible. We need to do more than just read a chapter a day. We study God's word. We read it. We meditate on it. We look at Scripture and compare Scripture with Scripture. And as we read God's word and we study God's word, we apply God's word to our life. We have a few school-age kids in here. So do you take your history book or your science book and you just read it and then you're ready for your test? No, what do you have to do? You have to study it, don't you? You have to memorize some of the formulas. I'm so glad I'm not in science anymore. I don't remember the math formulas for any of that stuff. That's beside the point. But it also goes to show that we need to continue studying God's word, because I don't remember the formulas from physics class, that same class that my girls are taking. I don't remember those things. So we have to keep studying God's word, don't we? You know, we're forgetful hearers sometimes, aren't we? We need to study his word. We need to read it. We need to study it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." To be people of God, we need to be studying his word. Take time. Take time to read it, to study it, to know it. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter, not Paul, but Peter, is, as he's introducing the book, his letter, he introduces the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God, the importance of growing from reading God's Word. Because in chapter 2, he warns of false doctrine. He warns of false teachers. He warns of the errors and the dangers of following wrong teaching and the destruction that it brings. If we're not studying God's word, we're not going to know God like we should. We're not going to know his will like we should. We're not going to know the practical things of our day-to-day life. We're going to miss out on everything that pertains to life and godliness unless we study his word, that we may know what God's word is. God's word, we can know the will of God with all wisdom by studying. We can know God's will through spiritual understanding, which comes supernaturally from God. But we have to study God's word first. God's not going to endue us with the knowledge of his will supernaturally if we're not willing to surrender to his word first. If we're not willing to read his word. Let's look at John chapter 16, verse 13. It says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and show it unto you." At the moment of salvation, God gave us a gift, gave us salvation, but also gave us the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is given as an earnest to those who believe. That earnest is a down payment. That is a promise from God, If I was going to rent a room from you, I would put a down payment saying that, hold this for me. I'm going to use your apartment and I'm going to pay for the apartment while I'm in it. The Holy Spirit is God's down payment to us as Christians saying that I have a home for you in heaven. This is proof of my promise. And the Holy Spirit, God gives us not just as a down payment or as a proof of his promise of eternal life, of salvation. But the Bible tells us he is our advocate. He is our, I'm going to use a big biblical term. You ready? Paraclete. It simply means one that comes alongside. He is our comforter. And he is the one that shows us truth. As we read God's word, as we study God's word, the Holy Spirit guides, he leads, he shows us how to apply God's word, and we need to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have been given the Holy Spirit, that as we read God's word, we may understand God's word. Not just understand God's word, but know how to apply God's word. That we may know the will of God and do the will of God. Paul's desire was, one, that the church of Colossae would know the will of God and also do it. Be full of the knowledge of the will of God. But that requires reading God's word, studying God's word, and being dependent upon the Holy Spirit to reveal God's word to us and help us to apply God's word. But there has to be a willingness to do so. Paul here says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10 says, not only do I want you to know God's will, but he says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So I want you to know God's will. And then verse 10, he says, I want you to walk worthy. This is the application of God's will, knowing God's will. I want you to walk worthy. This morning, we looked at later in chapter one of Colossians here. We're looking at the incomparable Christ. We looked at the fact that he is our Redeemer, he is our Creator. He reveals God to us. He is the head of the church. He is fully God, and from verse 13. To verse 29, Paul describes what a great Savior Christ is. How great of a Lord we have. And when we look at ourselves, we look at our failures and who we were before salvation, we're really not worthy of the Lord, are we? We're not worthy of the salvation that he gives. We continue to fail. But Christ has made us worthy. We have been redeemed. We have been sanctified. We have been cleaned and set apart for God's use. We can walk worthy of our Lord. We know from God's word. We can know from God's word what God wants us to do in our day-to-day life, in our spiritual walk, and we can do it. We have been given the power to do so. He says, I want you to walk worthy. He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Knowing God's word, knowing what it says, knowing what he wants from us, is one thing, but he wants us to do it. And we can. We'll see this here in a second, but we can walk worthy. We can produce fruit. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." We can be fruitful. As we learn what we ought to do and do them, the Bible tells us we will what? Be fruitful. We will never fall. As we grow, as we add to our faith virtue, as we add to our faith knowledge, as we add to our faith As we add to our faith knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, as we read God's word, we see that we ought to be doing these things. These are God's will. And as we set forth to do them, the Bible says we will not be unfruitful. We won't fall. We won't have those times of when difficulties come, when hardships come, we'll start to wonder about our salvation. But when we grow, we will produce fruit. When we walk worthy, producing fruit, doing what we know we ought to be doing, there will be fruit. There'll be much fruit. Verse 10, it says, "Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." The more we obey God's word, as we study God's word, the more we will learn about God's word. You know the time that we feel like we're not growing any? Have you ever gotten to a point in your Christian walk you just feel like you're not going anywhere and you feel kind of stale in your Christian walk? Do you know why? Because you haven't obeyed what you already know you ought to be doing. You've learned something from God's word and he said, "No, God, I want to do this." But when we apply God's word, when we walk worthy of God's word, here it says we'll not be unfruitful, we'll be fruitful in every good work, and we will what? Increase the knowledge of God. The more we follow his will, the more we know about him, the more we love him, the more we want to do for him, the more we'll have that close relationship with God. The more we obey, the more we know. The more we apply what we know, the more fruit we will bear. And the more we'll know about God, and the more we will love him. Walk worthy of the Lord. Verse 11. Says, "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." here, Paul's not giving a list of things to do, and you know, you pick one and choose one, and you work on that one and work on this one. But once you know the will of God, once you apply the will of God by walking worthy, then he gives the promise that you'll be strengthened. He says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We know God's will, and we start to apply God's will. God gives us the power and the strength to do his will. But there has to be that willingness. There has to be that surrender. Doing God's will, we can't do it on our own, in our own strength. We have to be reliant upon his strength. Here he says, strengthened with all might from the inner man, right? According to his glorious power. We cannot be the Christians that we ought to be if we're trying to do it in our own strength, in our own way. We can know God's will by reading his word, by studying his word. We need to have that willingness to walk worthy. We have been made worthy by Christ. Produce the fruit, increase in knowledge, but it only comes when we are dependent upon his power and not our own. Be strengthened with all might. Unto all patience and long-suffering and with joyfulness. He empowers us to do what he's called us to do. And when we do God's word and we do his will, everything in life will be easy, right? There will never be another problem. It'll just be roses and candy canes and happiness, right? And ease of life. No difficulties are going to come. The Bible tells us that man's troubles, they're going to come like the sparks fly upwards. It's going to happen. But as Christians, as we seek to do his will, seek to know his will, and do it and depend upon his power, he gives us strength for patience. The patience here is endurance from circumstances. Again, we're all going to have difficult circumstances. But we can get through those difficult circumstances through the power of God. Be strengthened with all might through his power. And he says, long-suffering. This is enduring wrongdoing from others. I know nobody's in here has ever been accused of doing something wrong when you didn't do it. Or being mocked at work because of your faith. Or mocked from your relatives because of your faith. And given a hard time because of it. But God gives us strength to stand, to do what's right, not to give in. Strengthened with all might. And it's necessary for patience and long suffering, but with joyfulness. We can endure those things with joy. Have you ever seen a Christian that's going through difficult times and I've just got it so tough? Pray for me, brother. Well, praise the Lord. I've got this difficulty and I got a flat tire today, and my dog chewed up my shoe, and I got this knucklehead at work that's always making fun of me because I'm a Christian. Praise the Lord. I'm going to make it through. Is that patience, long-suffering? Patience and long-suffering is joyful. It's difficult. Nobody enjoys it. Nobody's like, woohoo, let me have this problem today. I just can't wait for, you know, hardship to come. Woohoo! But when it does come, we can have joy. I don't know why I have a flat. I didn't have a flat tire, by the way. I hope I don't have one on the way home. Pray for me. Not looking for it, but when it happens, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I can't wait to see how God's going to provide. I'm looking forward to seeing God do a great work in this and having that joy. You know, I can't wait to see that person that's making fun of me at work, giving me a hard time being a Christian, and seeing Christ and putting his faith in Christ. Because I didn't get angry. Because God gave me the strength to be like him and share the truth in love. Be strengthened with all might, his might. And lastly, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We need to be thankful. Christians should be the most gracious people, should be the quickest to thank somebody for even the smallest of things. Here, Paul is specifically speaking of what Christ has done for them. We need to give thanks. No matter how difficult things are, we can always give thanks for Christ, can't we? We can give thanks because he has made us worthy. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, made us worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. As I mentioned before, we deserve nothing but hell. We deserve nothing but torment. We don't deserve to be able to even go to God's word. Bring petitions before God. Bring requests before God. Stand in God's presence. But Christ has made us worthy. Christ has made us meet. Has made us what we ought to be. And we need to give him thanks for it. We need to give him verbal thanks. We need to give him thanks in our attitude, in our willingness to follow his will. We need to be thankful because he's made us worthy. He's delivered us. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He has given us salvation. Every day we should be thankful. Why do we serve him? Why do we try to do his will, seek to do his will? Because of a thankful heart for what he has done for us. Paul says, I pray for you daily. I pray for you always. My desire for you is to know, be full of the knowledge of God. My desire for you is that you walk worthy of the Lord. My desire for you is that you are strengthened with all might to do his will, to be patient, to have long suffering, because life's not easy, and you need his strength, his power. My desire for you is to be thankful, to give thanks always, remembering what God has done for you and what God is still doing
for you.
Today, do you seek His will? Do you seek to be full of the knowledge of His will for everyday life, for your spiritual growth? Be a student of God's Word. Seek to know His will and be willing to do it. Be willing to walk worthy of the Lord. Be dependent upon Christ's strength to do His will, to produce fruit. But when things are hard, when things are difficult, when trials come, be dependent upon His strength with joy. And be thankful for what He has done for you and what He is still doing for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much for the day that You've given us. Lord, help us to seek Your will. Lord, help us to study Your Word, to apply it, to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit, to lead us into all truth and how to apply it. Lord, and help us to walk worthy. Help us to walk according to Your will. Lord, producing fruit, be abundant in fruit. Lord, increasing in our knowledge of You. Lord, help us to be dependent upon Your strength, that we may do Your will, Lord, but also be able to stand when difficulties come, when we're mocked and we're ridiculed. Lord, and help us to do it with joy. We can only do so when we're dependent upon Your strength. Lord, and help us to give thanks. For the Lord, we are not worthy, but You have made us worthy, and we thank You for it. Lord, I pray these things in Your name. Amen.